Father, we do know and recognize that the word awesome is often misused so oftentimes here around us, Lord, but it's a true description of who you are. And Lord, we do stand in awe of your greatness, Father, for there is none greater. And Father, you've given us the privilege to be in your house today to worship you, Father, for you and you alone are worthy of our worship, Lord. We pray, as we've already seen the beautiful songs and we've already spent time in prayer and listened to the children's message, but Lord, now as we open our heart up to your word, I pray that your words of truth will permeate our hearing and help us to understand, Lord, and put into life. Lord, again, thank you for all that you do. For us, in the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Appreciate Megan. Do you appreciate Megan coming in and helping out in with Carrie and Pat's away for a little bit? And so we appreciate her standing in and taking care of our worship time. So appreciate that very, very much. And also, if you appreciate being able to be here, it's possible because we have some special people cleaning off the surfaces of our parking lot. So Kendra and Caleb, thank you very much. And you know, through the years, Jim Scrivener, and there's so many, Don Ecton, there's so many people who work so hard to make sure our church is prepared to be able to come here safely, to be able to come into worship. So we really, really appreciate their willingness to worship the Lord by giving of their abilities and talents for that as well. So we appreciate that. Well, this message that I originally had prepared was for the Sunday around Thanksgiving. I said it again. Valentine's Day. I got to say that 10 times. Maybe I'll get it right. But Valentine's Day. But this was really not the best Valentine's message because it's one that goes in that third discourse of Jesus and talks about being hated because that we belong to him. And so hatred on Valentine's Day is not the best message about love, but it's also a necessary one. But here, God blessed us with moving it along a little bit further on. So we're going to be talking about this topic. Why does the world hate me? And by the way, I know I'm out of uniform. I was going to wear a jacket today for the Lord's Supper, but instead I was going to wear a vest. And so I put the vest on and got in the car, drove all the way down, and then I looked down, and I thought I had a blue vest on, but it was because I had blue slacks, a blue shirt, everything blue, and I looked down, and it was a black vest. I said, "Oh my goodness, I have a black vest on." Paula just shook her head at me, rolled her eyes. I said, "Yeah, I know. I saw that you had that on, and you did not match at all. But I thought that's what you wanted to wear." So she was going to let me come up with a black vest and blue slacks and blue shirt, so I took it off. It's in my car, but so I'm a little bit out of uniform. So I'm going to be able to participate in the Lord's Supper just a tie on, if that's okay with everybody. So hopefully you won't be offended. But you know, as we talk about this message of John, and we're in John chapter 15, and we've been there for a little bit. We've been in John for a little while. I think this is like the 60th sermon that we have on John. But as we look at this passage and look at the title, "Why Does the World Hate You?" That question is for those of us who are Christians, who love the Lord, and who live according to his word as best as we can, even though I certainly fail miserably at times. I still do my very best to honor the Lord in the way I live my life. And then we have to ask our question, why does people treat us the way they treat us when they find out that we are people of faith? And so we're going to explore that a little bit. But there is a level of hatred that goes towards Jesus Christ. And it's interesting when we think about hatred, because that's certainly not an attribute that God expects us to be living in accordance with. Hatred is an interesting thing. I was doing some research about that. I came across an internet publication from the Science of People, and it was published in an article titled "No Bond is Stronger Than Two People Who Hate the Same Person." That's pretty captivating, isn't it? But as we look at this article, it shared this. It said, "Research has found that people form stronger bonds when they are able to talk about their dislike towards someone else than when they both have positive feelings towards someone. The question is, why does an action as disrespectful as spewing negativity about other people increase hateful individuals' quantity and quality of connections?" I thought that was kind of interesting, isn't it? But if you really think about it, when you see someone all negative and all filled with hate, They get around with somebody else, all filled with negativity and hate, and it just grows from there, isn't it? There's four primary reasons, according to this article, that people do that. First one is, people want a scapegoat. Low self-esteem leads to declining to accept responsibility by people. People join in hate so that they have someone else to blame. So the very first person, whenever you see this negative person who's always just negative and always you're hateful, they're oftentimes looking for someone to blame for their issues and problems going on in their life. Number two, people are lonely and they're seeking connections, even if it's with hateful people. Could you imagine if Christians began making a priority to build relationship with those who are lonely before those lonely people found the world of hate? Thirdly, there's a fear of the unknown. Rather than seeking the truth, the hateful people, the world, begin to spread untrue negative gossip. Their fear brings them to a unified attack against what they don't know. Tells you a lot about what negative and hateful people are thinking really inside, doesn't it? And fourthly, people's insecurity gets the best of them. People begin to project their anxieties on someone else. In essence, negative hatred breeds negative hatred. You may be able to see that on the news if you kind of watch that a little bit, I guess. But the world is looking for a scapegoat. The world is lonely, and it seeks to be connected with others who rejects Jesus. The world fears the unknown, and Jesus represents the transparent truth. The world is insecure, wants to attack the only things that emits stability and salvation, especially when Jesus is a truth that reveals that their sin is evil. But if only they would take the time to listen to him being Jesus completely. See, Jesus isn't coming to condemn and belittle people. He has come to seek and save the lost. We cannot be shocked that the world hates Jesus. Nor can we be shocked that when the world sees Jesus in us, that the world will hate us as well. Let's explore this a little bit further today as we look at John's Gospel, chapter 15. We're going to read verses 18 through 25, and you can open up your Bible, and when you have that, if you can stand to your feet as we honor the Lord and reading his holy and precious scripture. John chapter 15, starting with verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember that what I have told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now that they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in the law. They hated me without reason. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your holy and precious word. And Lord, as we begin to explore this passage, we pray that our hearts will be open to your truth. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the giver of life for us, Lord. He is the water of life. He is the bread of life, Lord. We are so thankful for him, and thank you for salvation that comes through him. And Lord, we do know that those who are lost in sin, if they choose not to repent, Lord, they oftentimes will look to justify their sin, Lord, and as a result, they want to attack anything that represents the darkness of their sin. And Father, as a result, they often hate Jesus. And as a result of hating Jesus, those who belong to Jesus are often hated by the world. Lord, as we look at this passage, we pray that we will honor and glorify you and your truth, which is uncompromised. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word, for your love that is never ending, Lord. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we shared in the last few weeks, whenever we weren't snowed out, John chapter 15 is quite an interesting passage of Scripture. Within this chapter itself, there are, in this one particular portion of Jesus' discourse, there's four specific points that Jesus is addressing. One is found in the first eight verses, and he talks about the branches and the vine. Then we see verses 9 through 17 about love, and in verses 18 through 25, as we just read, about hatred. And then finally, verses 26 and 27, which is about the Holy Spirit again. This morning, we're going to look at verses 18 through 25 as we explore this question, why does the world hate you? But before we do that, I want to look at verses 22 and 24, because when we're looking at passages of Scripture, that I don't want to skim over something, because if anyone has any bit of analytics like myself there, you look at that and it just captivates that and say, what does these two verses mean? And so before we go forward with preaching the full message, let's talk about verses 22 and 24. In verse 22, it says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. And then verse 24, also kind of peculiar, it says, if I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. So as we look at these two passages of Scriptures, what is Jesus really talking about here? Well, these two verses can give an appearance that if Jesus had not come, then, well, men would not be guilty of their sin. Well, is this what Jesus is saying? Well, no, it's not. It is not what he's saying. Jesus was not saying that mankind is sinless, nor did he mean that people were sinless before he came, nor that men would not have been held accountable if he had not come. So that is not what Jesus is saying here. So what is it that he is saying? Well, what Jesus is saying is that because he came from heaven to earth and lived and shared the truth of God as a son of God, that mankind has absolutely no excuse. The world's rejection of the Messiah is what Jesus is really talking about here. And he's talking about more specifically to the Jewish audience of that moment. The world will be subjected to the greatest of God's judgments because of their rebellion and their refusal to accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. Christians, we must realize that the world today that has rejected Jesus hates him. And as a believer that lives for Christ and represents Jesus in our life, we will be subjected to their callous hatred for the Lord as well. So thus, we go back to the question. So why does the world hate you? In your bulletin, you'll find fill in your blanks, and there's three specific points I want to explore this morning as we explore this question. The first thing I want to share with you of why the world hates you is this. The world hates Jesus. Verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Verse 20, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. In a few short years that Jesus lived on this earth, many in the world grew to hate him. They grew to reject him, and they even grew to persecute Jesus. Jesus was without sin. He never, ever deviated from the Father's will. He only spoke, and he only lived truth. And yet, the sinful world hated him. The sinful world is blind and dark to sin. Jesus is light and transparent truth. Their reaction to this transparency of Jesus is to lash out at him. Why? Well, just like the four reasons shared at the beginning of the message, they wanted a scapegoat. They didn't want to stop their sin and what they were doing just because someone said so. They wanted someone to blame. The sinful world is also a lonely place. It's a fearful and an insecure place. And that's the reason why the negativity continues to breed. The world and their sinful desire unite together in the hatred for the one that represents purity, that represents righteousness, that represents justice and holiness. Who is this, and who represents purity, righteousness, justice, and holiness? Well, it's Jesus, and Jesus alone. And who is it that the sinful world hates? It's Jesus Christ. They hate Jesus. The sinful world wants that scapegoat. And guess what? Jesus voluntarily became their scapegoat. He took on the sinful world's blame. He took on the sinful world's sin. Jesus did this to take on the blame so that when he died and he sacrificed his blood as an atonement for sin, that he did it for all of mankind. And all they needed to do is repent and accept it and to love him. But instead of accepting Jesus, many hate him. And that leads us to our second point, which is a powerful point, really. And it says, the world loves worldly people. Now, as Christians, we know that truth. But as a Christian, this also is one of the more hard-hitting messages that we'll hear for a long time because it can become very convicting for us. See, in verse 19 of chapter 15, it says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. So if I ask you the question, why does the world hate you? And if your response is, well, the world doesn't hate me, then you have to ask yourselves, well, does the world love you? And if it loves you, why does it love you? You have to ask that same question, whether we're loved or hated. Let me tell you that if you want to claim to be a minister, and if you preach false doctrine by preaching that it's okay to sin, and it's okay to do your own thing, man, you'd have people coming to you hand over fist. You'd be busting at the seams of whatever church that might be. But if you run across someone doing wrong, or in other words, sinning, and when you tell them what they're doing is okay, they're going to love you. See, that's what sinners are attracted to. In fact, you can look at people who are involved in lots of different types of sin right now, and you'll find ministers who are supported by those sinners because they're saying that it's okay. But when you preach the truth and preach things such as lying is wrong and lying is a sin, or that gossip is wrong and gossip is sin, or stealing is wrong, or cheating on your taxes is wrong and it's a sin, or living together with someone you're not married to is wrong and it is sin, or having sex outside the confines of marriage is wrong and it is sin, or that abortion is wrong and that is a sin, or homosexuality is wrong and that it's a sin, or getting drunk and getting high is wrong and it's a sin, all of a sudden, you don't have a lot of people running to you and asking what your thoughts are and how God might truly see it. In Christians, in Romans 6, 2, it reminds us that we don't live the way of sin anymore. In fact, it says in part, it says, we are those who died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We must walk in the way of the Lord. Sin is no longer our life. In fact, there will be a group of people who's not going to like you. Then they'll start clicking up together, and they'll start trying to destroy you whenever you're representing Christ. They will then grow to hate you. See, what a big turn of events. Keep telling the sinful world to keep on sinning, and they'll love you. Live, preach, and share the truth of God's word, and they will hate you. The world loves worldly people, but they will seek to destroy Jesus and anything that represents him because Jesus preaches truth. But something the sinful world does not realize in all their hate, Jesus does not, no matter what they try to claim, Jesus does not preach the truth in hate. It's not what Jesus does. He preaches the truth in love. He preaches truth so that the sinner can repent, and so the sinner can be forgiven, be saved, and be restored to a right relationship with God. That's why Jesus shares truth, not to alienate people, not to shame people, not to make people feel terrible. He wants to share truth so they have the hope of salvation. That's what Jesus is all about. It's about a right relationship with God. The world in its sin wants to see Jesus as an offense, not as a loving forgiver who seeks to restore. Brian Croft shares in a book titled Biblical Revitalization, only power from God can change the heart of a thief, a murderer, the sexually immoral. Only a supernatural work from God can take a hater of God who is dead in his sins and transform him into the love of God who is alive because of righteousness through Jesus. See, Jesus was simply living and preaching this truth that you cannot live in sin and be in right relationship with God. Too many ministers in history has preached a false gospel, and the world loved them. Too many ministers today preach a false gospel. But friends, I'm thankful for you and the faithfulness that you stand beside and seek to honor and never compromise the Word of God, the truth of God in His Word. It's not the world's love that we seek. It's not feeling accepted by the world that we seek. See, we seek the love of the Father. And when we seek the love of the Father and we live in the Father's love, the world will not love us. Leads us to our third and final point. So why does the world hate you? Well, the world will treat believers like Jesus. Verse 19 says again, as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. See, if the world is hating you, it's because of this particular point that Jesus shares. Verses 20 and 21, remember what I told you, Jesus speaking here. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they showed, if they obeyed my teachings, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. It's exciting to see people receiving and accepting God's truth and to see the supernatural transformation that takes place when God draws people to himself and they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we've experienced this many times here at Mount Olive. It is a true joy to see and experience such. But Jesus tells us that not everyone's going to hate you. Some will allow God to draw them to himself, and they will desire to learn God's word and be obedient to God's word. So friends, there's an exciting things that happens when we are believers in Jesus Christ. So it's not like it's all going to be difficult for us, because it's joyful whenever we come together, just like this morning, to be with other believers and to be able to rejoice in the truth of the Lord. But Jesus is also explicitly clear that not everyone you encounter will be seeking obedience to the Lord. See, Jesus was persecuted. And as a believer in Jesus who is faithful and obedient to the Lord, we can bank on the truth that someday, more than likely, we will very well be persecuted for our faith in Jesus as well. But verse 19 gives us a beautiful truth. See, Jesus has chosen you. He knows your love for him. He will never abandon you. But he must tell us the same truth as well. When we belong to Jesus, the world will hate us too. So be prepared for this. Expect to be persecuted. So when it happens, you're not going to be like getting the wind knocked out of your lungs. You know, the world will hate us because when they see us and our faithfulness to Christ, they will see Jesus in us. And as a result, they will hate us accordingly. Friends, some will treat you well because you're a believer. But others in the sinful world, they'll mistreat you, because they will treat us like Jesus. But never forget the sad and tragic statement that Jesus tells us in verse 21. Verse 21 says, they will treat you this way because of my name. And this is the sad part. For they do not know the one who sent me. The real tragedy is not found in the persecution of Jesus. The real tragedy is not found in our persecution because of our love for Christ. The real tragedy is that they do not know God the Father. Let us never grow weary in doing good. Let us preach, let us teach, let us share, and let us live, just as our vision and mission statement of our church says, the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask right now if you'll stand to your feet and bow your head, no one looking around. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Let me ask you a couple of questions, and perhaps this morning you need to make a decision. And if you do, I want to give you that opportunity. Reflection time. Let me ask you some very deep questions. Does the world hate you, or does the world love you? The sinful world hates Jesus and everything and everyone that's associated with Jesus. But Jesus said something also profound. The sinful world loves those that belong to the world. Friends, today, every one of us, if we have not made a choice, we must make that choice. We must choose to love God, or we must choose to love the sinful world. We have two masters of our heart. Love the Lord, the sinful world will hate us. We will be persecuted. We'll be hated. We'll be laughed at. We'll be excluded from certain functions. But we must never forget that loving Jesus is not a short-term thing. See, loving Jesus is for all eternity. This morning, will you love Jesus no matter the cost? Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. This morning, do you know salvation? Do you know Christ's love? Are you ready to persevere through the hate of the world? And you do that through the love of Christ. Accept the gospel. Accept God's power for your life. Do you need to make a decision today? Have you been struggling with the world? And you're done with that struggle? And you're ready to accept the truth of Christ? Perhaps today you've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior. And perhaps today you know that that's your very next step to do. I want to invite you to come. I'll pray with you. Perhaps there's other decisions and choices that you need to make in your own life. Perhaps today, God showed you a mirror in your face and said, now look, do you love me or do you love the world? You can't have it both ways. Make your choice today. Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for the power of the word of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to accept you as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that you'll give us the courage to step forward. Father, if someone has done that and they need to follow in believer's baptism or to unite with this church, or if there's a burden that's on their heart for themselves or for someone they love and care about, Lord, help us, Lord, to step out, to pray at the altar, to pray at their seat, Lord, or to pray with myself or someone else in the church. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We're going to sing page number
530.
If you need to make a decision, I invite you to come right now as we sing. in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and followed in His commands of baptism and being obedient to the commands that He has given to us. So if you're a visitor with